Get ready to shine it up and show it off.
Mark your calendars for Wind River Resort and Casino's annual Show and Shine
on Sunday, April 19th
from 11 to 2 p.m.
Enter your classic car into the show at 8 a.m. and receive a free t-shirt and food voucher.
Bring the whole family down for this all-ages event.
Snap photos, talk with passionate car owners, and enjoy an afternoon packed with nostalgia and horsepower.
For complete details, visit WindRiver.com.
See the shine and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
The arc of history would lead us to understand once you get socialism and that falls apart and brings anarchy with it, then, according to the Soviets, a strong man must appear. And I don't know if there's any such strong man.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. Welcome to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. That was John Cass, legendary Chicago writer, journalist, and columnist. We'll talk in depth with him today about his experience in Chicago media, what he's learned along the way, and how Chicago can warn the rest of the country about the consequences of bad government. Also, later we'll talk about the high purpose of children in American society. First, we're joined by John Cass, longtime writer, reporter, and columnist in Chicago. Now, independent, you can find him at johncassnews.com. It's John, K-A-S-S, news.com. John's here on campus as part of our CCA lecture series on journalism. John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to be with you today. I've read you and the Chicago Tribune, where you worked previously, for decades now, and it's a pleasure to have you here. You've written about Chicago for a long, long time. Started at the Tribune in 1980, so you covered the council wars of the 80s and the dailies and ROM, thousands of columns.
The ROM father.
Yeah, that's right. Your podcast is called The Chicago Way. What does that mean? What's the Chicago Way?
The Chicago Way comes from the movie The Untouchables, and David Mamet wrote a brilliant script. So The Chicago Way is taken from a dialogue. Sean Connery is playing the old copper, Chicago cop, and he's telling a young Elliot Ness, played by Kevin Costner, how to get Capone. Mm-hmm. And he says, he takes a knife, you grab a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way. And it is true. That is the Chicago Way.
Is that ruthlessness perhaps the defining feature for you when you think about Chicago? Is that what you think about first?
I don't see myself as a ruthless man. I see myself as a Christian, as a kind person. But yes, that is the Chicago Way. Which is the name of the podcast, is about ruthlessness, and that's the politics of Chicago.
Let's revisit how you ended your time at the Tribune, which was in 2021, and this could be an entire conversation in and of itself, but it speaks to how newspapers are run these days, and who really runs newspapers these days in many places. It started with a column that some of your colleagues didn't like, particularly in the union at the Tribune. So kind of take us through what happened.
Anarchy was breaking out throughout the United States. If you can think back to the 2020s, the summer of love.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Anarchy. It was anarchy. And George Soros was the architect of the anarchy. He supported candidates for office, and it was really relatively inexpensive to do based on running other campaigns. He wanted to decarcerate the jails. Now, I'm mindful of what Christian teachings are with respect to visiting people in prison and having kindness toward them. But if you don't put people in jail, especially you get a repeat offender mentality, and innocent people, women, children, men, are destroyed by the predators. And this incensed me. So I had enough, and I started writing about George Soros. Now, the Jacobin, I used that name for the Tribune, the Union, the newspaper guild. The Union did not like me confronting George Soros. And as a result, they got a little feisty, and they defamed me and demanded that I be removed from page two, and they demanded that I attend what I call, and anyone who studies communism would know of, as a struggle session. They wanted me to stand before them and apologize. And my only response to an editor was, I'm not apologizing. And there you go.
They were successful in removing you from page two before you left it. I thought it was interesting because the paper had to insult its readers to make that happen. They had to say, the readers are not sophisticated enough to realize what's written as opinion on page two, which had been for decades, not just you, but other writers at the Tribune. So now we have to relegate all of our opinion to two pages in the back of the first section. They had to say their readers couldn't figure out what was news and what was opinion anymore.
You know, my big fat Greek head is a picture right above, right under the column. You might want to think of that as my opinion. But they didn't like my opinion. This is the left.
John Cass with us. You can find him at johncassnews.com, longtime writer, reporter, columnist with the Chicago Tribune. After leaving the Tribune, ended up at johncassnews.com, one of many journalists who have gone independent that we've worked welcomed here to campus. What do you think that you gained in that transition? What do you like about writing for yourself at johncassnews.com?
I don't have any insect leaning over my shoulder telling me what to think or what to say. Liberty and truth is are the ideas behind Hillsdale College, and I, with all due humility, I believe in that as well.
You're here on campus, part of our CCA lecture series, speaking specifically about the decline of trust in mainstream media.
Isn't it good that they didn't say faith?
Yes, yes. Can you put a finger on when that started? When did people begin to lose that trust in media?
When we began to elevate Barack Obama to the status of a demigod, at which point I realized they weren't talking about Barack as a man, because a man with flaws is running for president. They were talking about him as Pegasus, rising from the sea foam. They're creating a god of him. And in a sense, I went to his, you know, I've known him for years. I went to his inauguration, I went to his speeches, I attended those and watched them, and I knew him well. I mean, he's from Chicago, and he was a phony. And they didn't want, this is partly why I think the left in Chicago hated me so much. I didn't buy into the whole Barack Obama as a demigod.
When people say they don't trust the media, what do you think they really mean? Because hopefully they trust you.
I should hope so.
Maybe they trust, like, Catherine Herridge, who's a previous guest here on Hillsdale's campus. She's been on the show recently. Catherine Herridge is now an independent journalist as
She's
well.
She's wonderful.
So when they say, oh, I don't trust the media, what do they mean?
I think they mean they know that there are people in the media who will supplant their, who install their opinion and leftist ideology or orthodoxy in place of the facts. Now, we have had a president who ordered the FBI chief and the CIA chief to, according to the records, lie and put forward a different story that this man was, that Trump was a agent of the Russians, a tool of the Russians. And the fact is, he was not, and they knew it. But they still manufactured this, and on top of it all, the New York Times and the Washington Post each received Pulitzer Prizes, which diminished forever. If you thought Walter Duranty was bad, forever the Pulitzer Prize. And it's not worth anything now. But that's what happened. And that's why people lost faith.
All right, we'll talk about the current situation in Chicago today and how it might warn the rest of the country about the consequences of poor government with John Cass, johncassnews.com. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at O2ES.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com.
The Shasta College Art Gallery presents a Japanese woodblock print exhibition featuring works from the traditional ukiyo-e period to contemporary artists. Explore beautifully crafted prints with many pieces available for purchase to support Shasta College Student Show Awards. Join us for the closing reception on April 16th at noon in Building 300 during Shasta College Cultural Day. The gallery is open Monday through Thursday 8 to 5 and Fridays 8 to noon. More information can be found at shastacollege.edu/events.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We've been talking with John Cass, legendary Chicago journalist, columnist. He's at johncassnews.com. Also find his podcast, The Chicago Way. John.
I want to ask a few things about Chicago.
Please.
That perhaps a larger audience needs to be exposed to.
Yeah.
Chicago, for years politically, was ruled by the Daleys and Mike Madigan. And their power has been...
Mike's in prison.
Mayor Daley's been gone for a while. His brother is not the player he once was. With that demise, with their demise, a power vacuum existed in Chicago. Into that stepped the Chicago Teachers Union. And you've written about
this often. Very good.
How did the Chicago Teachers Union become the most powerful union in this country?
Well, they are the Democratic Party now. They decide whether you're going to succeed as a candidate or not. And everyone kisses their behind if you want to run in those districts. How do they become powerful? President Roosevelt warned about the public sector unions. He warned us about them, and no one took him seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have.
Mayor Brandon Johnson. Oh. So Chicago has Rahm Emanuel. Rahm father is mayor, and they don't like him, and he's too gruff and rough, and there's some police scandals under his administration. And so he is unpopular.
A boy was killed, and he covered it up. Yeah.
So he was so unpopular, he decided he's not going to run again. And you have Lori Lightfoot, who the people elect, and Lori Lightfoot is not competent to serve as mayor, and people realize that, and they vote her out in a primary where she receives like 17% of the vote among Democrats.
Right.
And now you have Brandon Johnson, who still is a Chicago Teachers Union member. He's on leave at this point as he serves as mayor, right? But Johnson's in, and he's a socialist. And Chicago sort of has this first draft of what New York might see under their socialist mayor, what Seattle might see under their socialist mayor.
They're seeing it now.
And public opinion polls say Chicago doesn't like that either. So, A, what should New York and Seattle expect and other big cities who want to experiment with a socialist as mayor?
Michelle Wu,
correct. And then B, Boston. Where does Chicago turn next? If it's not Rahm, it's not Lori Lightfoot, it's not a socialist, where are they going next?
I think, well, the arc of history would lead us to understand once you get socialism and that falls apart and brings anarchy with it, then according to the Soviets, a strong man must appear. And I don't know if there's any such strong man because the debt of Chicago is severe.
Mm-hmm.
What should New York and the rest expect? Absolute failure and anarchy, where people are attacked on the way home from work and innocent. This is what got me in so much trouble with the Tribune Union. Who takes the L, the public transportation? Who takes it? It is the poorest of us.
Mm-hmm.
I drive. They're on the L, and they're subject to the barbarism of the Democratic Party that does not incarcerate the violent.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, we saw a man arrested 72 times recently, continually released out on the street, a madman who burned a beautiful young girl. Her name was Bethany McGee. On the L, covered her in gasoline and burned her alive. You can't have a city like that. A city like that won't live.
You write often from the perspective of regular people, regular Chicagoans, blue-collar Chicagoans. Has the distance between those people and the people who are running things, ruling Chicago, has that grown more distant over the years?
I don't think so. Chicago is still a blue-collar town, and common sense is prided. I don't think the people of Chicago are not intimidated by fancy pants talk. We really don't like that. We don't like fancy pants talk. You can talk like Bill Buckley, loved him. But you talk like Bill Buckley, you're not going to get elected in Chicago.
Final question for John Cass. You can find him at johncassnews.com, longtime reporter, columnist.
And the Chicago Way podcast.
And the Chicago Way podcast as well. I have been a longtime reader of yours, and my question is there a column that you wrote that really sticks with you that you love? And I will tell you mine. So it's actually a happenstance, but we talk right around the 20-year anniversary of Sam Alito being confirmed to the Supreme Court. And you wrote a piece during his confirmation hearings in which Sam Alito's wife was in the room as Democrats were besmirching his character and saying all sorts of terrible things about him. Lindsey Graham came to his defense, and Graham sort of, you're not a closet bigot. And as he asked these questions, his wife her eyes fill with tears. She runs out of the room. And the column was this conversation between you and your intern at the time, talking about how lucky Sam Alito was to have a woman, a wife like that. And that I loved it at the time, printed it, still have it, still read it every now and then. I just love that perspective on relationships and marriage. And so that stuck with me forever. People can still find that online, I believe, if you do a good search for it.
The Tribune hasn't gotten rid of it yet?
I don't think so. If you know how to search, you can still find it. So is there one that you've written, one or two you've written that you really love?
Yeah. Well, the first one was about my father. When I got the column, when I was given the column, I idolized my father. I guess you could say I'm a second-generation anti-communist. I loved my father. And I just wondered what he'd think of me being on page two, immigrant, you know, son of a peddler, always given the back of the hand, all of us. Immigrants, that's what happens to us. I'm not complaining. That's part of the gig that we signed up for. And the other column I think that I always remember is one that I rewrite every day, every year at Christmas Eve. It's called O Holy Night. And it is taken from the petitions of the Greek Orthodox liturgy. You know, Kyrie eleison for all the parents in the world, all the children, Lord have mercy, Kyrie eleison. It runs throughout. And once editor, I know it's not funny, but my managing editor, James Patrick O'Shea, came up to me and said, you know, John, this sounds like this reads kind of like a prayer. You know, prayer in the paper.
Right? Yeah.
And I just looked at him. I said, really?
John Cass, longtime writer, reporter, columnist at the Tribune, previously now writing independently at johncassnews.com. It's K-A-S-S. Also find him at the Chicago Way podcast as well. John Cass, a guest here on campus as part of our CCA lecture series here on journalism. John, a pleasure to have you here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Up next, Matt Meehan from Hillsdale in D.C. will join us. We'll talk about the higher purpose of children in American society. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
At Plumas Bank, we understand business because we've grown alongside you in the communities we call home. We're proud to grow in Redding and excited to welcome Anderson and Red Bluff to the Plumas Bank family. With our new locations, your business gains expanded lending powers, more convenient locations, and more than 40 years of trusted community banking experience. Plumas Bank, building stronger communities. Learn more at plumasbank.com.
Red Bluff Roundup is on April 17th, 18th, and 19th. Get your tickets now. Over $350,000 is up for grabs for 700 competitors. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in
around the country.
Tickets are on sale now, so grab the best seats while you can.
It's constant action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more.
Friday is Patriot Day, brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractors.
Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7.
And an after party with live music.
Saturday, brought to you by Sierra Pacific Industries and Windows at Big Time Pest Control.
Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30.
And an evening concert with country music star Corey Kent.
And Sunday is Davidson Heyman Family and Friends and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day.
Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30.
Get your tickets now at the Roundup office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
These are rights understood as entitlements, and a person who holds this view of rights, far from making no demands on other people, is making claims on other people's money and resources. This understanding of rights not only sets citizens against each other, but it undermines the whole idea of natural rights.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We want to say hello and welcome to our new listeners on our new affiliate, 92.3 The Hub, the voice for freedom in Lubbock, Texas. And also new listeners at KBOI AM 670 FM 93.1 in Boise, Idaho. Thank you for listening to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
We're joined by Dr. Matt Meehan. He's Associate Dean and Associate Professor at the Van Andel Graduate School of Government at Hillsdale in D.C. Dr. Meehan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Scott.
Discussing today something you wrote for Heritage.org, part of their first principles series on the higher purpose of children in American society. And when people read this, they'll be welcomed by the story of George Washington grieving the loss of his stepdaughter. Why did you choose to begin with this story of parental love and parental loss in this essay?
Yeah, that's a great question. I wanted George Washington, the father of the country, at the head of this essay because it's a look at the founding fathers and the phenomenology of raising children and how that energizes or even animates the entire American Republican system of limited government. And he's the tough case because he had no child.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, no, he's a political figure. But it turns out he actually adopted Patsy Custis and not just in law, but in heart, and became her father and loved her dearly. And when she passed away from some kind of aneurysm, he was grievously wounded by the loss. And that, to my mind, was an important sort of image, because at the end of the day, why what I'm arguing here for the higher purpose of children in the American Republic, why it's important is because of the adoptive power of love, is that the family gets adopted out into the community. And so the community is one of adopting families, mm-hmm. right? Through marriage, but also through basic love and service to the family.
You push back hard in this research on the idea that children matter because they're going to grow up, they're going to join the labor force, they're going to get jobs, they're going to increase the tax base. What gets lost when we are talking about children only in economic terms?
Yeah, it's basically treating children as adults without any kind of recognition of their relationship or their personality as sons and daughters or nephews and nieces. So it's just looking at them as if they were already adults.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like half the show, right? Half the show is them raising children as fathers and mothers, mm-hmm. and being sons and daughters. And once you expand the actual Republican experience beyond the workplace and the economic output, 8 hours a day, very important, but it's what about the weekends, right? And the other rest of the day. Then you start to see, oh, actually the value, the importance, the benefits of children go far beyond sort of, you know, the economic man. And that's what I wanted to, and more importantly, that way of thinking about it is too low, mm-hmm. to inspire anybody to care, right? It's like, because what we're having an immigration debate right now is, well, we can just import other workers.
Yeah.
Like, who cares? Like, just get other workers from other countries. No problem. It's like, well, hold on. There might be something really important about children and family that sustains the goodness of our government.
One of those important things, one of the central claims, is how children help hold the republic together. They create bonds of justice and affection, responsibility. How does that presence of children change the way that people relate to each other in a community?
So this sounds so dumb. It's one of those self-evident truths that when said, you're like, yeah, of course. And people get annoyed because, like, why am I even agreeing to this? It's so common sense. It's like, well, it turns out we have some uncommon senselessness, so mm-hmm. let's just return to some common sense, which is when a child enters the world, relationships are instantly made. You have a grandfather. You have a grandmother. You have a nephew. You have a niece. You have an uncle. You have a mother. You have a father. You have a neighbor. All of a sudden, there are all these relations. And you're like, yes, great. Any human being creates those relationships. Yeah, but those human beings come out of family life.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start to see that weave, and then it extends into social and economic life. Now you're a classmate, you're an alumnus, now you're the lead pitcher on the baseball team, etc. This all becomes the relationships that in Republican government we used to refer to as the complexa caritatis, the complex of charity, the complex of loves, the interwoven network of loves that are in civil society. Then you say, like, we used to call it that. It's like, yeah, everybody knew this. Before 1950, everybody knew the complex of charity. Like you, they would have known exactly where it came from. Book one of Cicero's On Duties. Most mm-hmm. people had it memorized. Any serious citizen was studying it. This was the norm. And what they understood from that is it's precisely this complex of loves, which you benefit from and feel very good about and very grateful about. That's the engine of all civic and social duty. Thank you for loving me, Mr. Street Sweeper, Mr. Gardener, Mr. Coach, Mr. Teacher, Mom, Dad, Uncle, Aunt, Brother, Sister. All of those relationships are what foster a sense of givenness and gratitude, which then is the engine for why you would give back. And so if you're going to fight and die for your country on a foreign battlefield, right, or defend it here, God forbid, right, or if you're going to basically sacrifice for public service,
mm-hmm.
right, in whatever way that takes shape, or even not public, but private service, right, to the family, right, the sacrifices of family life. You have to have gratitude, and that gratitude comes from this interwoven network of loves, which comes through the child and the rearing of children.
talking about Hillsdale's Dr. Matt Meehan about his research over at heritage.org, the higher purpose of children in American society. Talked about Washington, Adams, Franklin also play a role in what you've written. Do you think they understood something about children and civic life that perhaps we've forgotten?
I do. So a lot of these experiences, and I shouldn't say all of us have forgotten. I would say most of us have forgotten how to articulate it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of my role as Mr. Chatterbox Professor. But I think a lot of people have actually totally forgotten it as well. Too many. So it's not totally gone, but it needs rearticulation and then it needs to be relived. But part of what you see, and this is James Wilson and John Adams, you can actually see in their writings, they're thinking through the rearing of children is actually the experience for mother and father and extended family and teachers of the balance of liberty and law,
mm-hmm.
which we must have. And so actually raising a next generation is this refresher course on governance.
Right.
Because the children really need law. And they're not yet capable of that much liberty when they're younger. And then you slowly open the aperture unto adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting that right and then seeing a kid fail to thrive or be angry and rebellious or happy and joyful, grateful, responsible, or crushed by too many rules, all of that is actually analogous training for self-government. It's not the whole thing, right? There's a prudence to government. I'm the professor of government, dean of government. Family life is not enough. Being a good dad will not make you a great senator or a president, right? Like there's a whole arc to governing.
Yes.
But there are lots of preliminary analogous things that the citizenry need to be doing and thinking about that will help them choose good representatives and develop proper political opinions, right? Which will inform what governors and government does. And that is lost when you don't have the experience of raising children. And that is a big problem because you get unrealistic expectations about both control,
mm-hmm.
happiness, and freedom.
That's Dr. Matthew Meehan. He's Associate Dean and Associate Professor of Government at the Graduate School of Government at Hillsdale in D.C. More with him next on the higher purpose of children in American society. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Country fans, are you ready? Just off those boots and save the date for Sunday, April 26th at 7:30 p.m. The Event Center is bringing the heat with rising American country star Chase Matthews live in concert. Get ready for the signature Lo Sung Twang and powerhouse performance featuring fan favorites like Darlin and his gold-certified debut single, Love You Again. This show is going to sell out fast, so grab your tickets today. Just $40 plus fees. Make a night of this incredible country event and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Open now at Turtle Bay Museum, Thomas D. Mangelson, A Life in the Wild, featuring 40 of the legendary wildlife photographer's most powerful images captured in the wild. These iconic once-in-a-lifetime moments include polar bears dancing on Arctic ice, a salmon leaping straight into the jaws of a massive brown bear, landscapes from all seven continents, and much more. The A Life in the Wild tour is produced by David J. Wagner, LLC, and is on display at Turtle Bay Museum now through May 3rd. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Workers' compensation cases can move really slowly, and it's frustrating. Don't get pressured into hiring the first law firm you meet with just because they were fast to get you on their schedule. Your case impacts every aspect of your life. You want a local attorney that understands that and will get you the best outcome. Interview Patrick Orman of Gorman Law to see if he is the right attorney and to see if you really need an attorney. He will tell you the truth. Call 530-262-2168 or schedule online at Gorman Comp Law. Consultations and workers' comp are always free.
Spring is almost here, so wake up that garden and get growing with Grange Co-op's Spring Roundup Sale, happening now through March 29th. Jump on big-time savings. Buy two, get one free blueberries, 20% off vegetable jumbo packs, and score three free chicks per family when you buy a 40 or 50-pound bag of Rogue poultry feed. From fresh blooms to happy pets, Grange Co-op has everything you need to kick off the season right. Swing by Grange Co-op at 55 Lake Boulevard in Reading, or shop online at grangecoop.com.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavors. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Dr. Meehan.
Throughout the essay, education keeps coming up, not just as job preparation, but something essential to self-government. What kind of education do children need if our republic is going to last?
They need a liberal arts education, but they need one that understands the arts liberty, which is the same old Latin phrase from Cicero, just translated in two different ways, because it's two sides of the same coin. Right, a walled city is still open to the sky. So there has to be a transcendent view to education that is open to the immortal soul and an afterlife, that we are not made for this world alone. And then there has to be a very serious civic component, rhetoric, communication, persuasion through speech to the truth. Otherwise, it's all jackboats, Nazis, and despots, right? You have to have law is a liberal art. Much forgotten in our day, even in the classical ed movement, that's still not quite fully understood. But it was understood that obviously some law must be brought forward because that is part of the arts of liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have to live by law, and that's how you find basically an eye for the divine law and the eternal law and the natural law, right? And the jus gentium, the laws of peoples, how we treat one another, right? And thus common law, constitutional law, and positive human law, and then custom. Right. And then habit in the family and all those things, right? Uh-huh. It's very important to think about law and be a people of law. That is Republican. So that's a very broad brushstroke of what's needed. But I do think that's the viewpoint we should have, with an eye not just to knowledge, but to praxis, both.
Talking with Dr. Matt Meehan about his work over at heritage.org, the higher purpose of children in American society. We hear a lot about falling birth rates here in America, usually framed as, again, an economic crisis. The economy is going to suffer, or entitlement programs will suffer. What does a declining regard for children say more, perhaps, about a society's sense of meaning or purpose?
So I mentioned briefly in the white paper, P.D. James is the Children of Men, which is the kind of speculative rhetorical exercise of what would happen if there were no children in society.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that because there is no need to propagate the way of life into the next generation, there is a kind of sad carelessness that sets in, where it's like, what does it even matter actually? And so liberty, free government, the ability to have enough room and enough guides, both law and liberty, to create raise new human beings that are fully formed and mature. It doesn't really matter. We're all formed already. We're all adults.
Mm-hmm.
So who really cares? Just let somebody else handle that and just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we'll die. the transcendent is gone, right? And the major project of liberty is gone, which is to raise the next generation of good men and women. I do think that one of the knock-on effects of this is a very dangerous utopianism, because there's not, when you don't have children in the mix, there is not an understanding of the joys of these private but transcendent goods, of being given a new human being made in the image and likeness of God, which even the most ambitious of our founding fathers, I made great truck with Alexander Hamilton because of the musical. He is like Mr. Ambition. I got to sacrifice family life, you know, just go, 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 found the Republic, energy, 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 right? He says in his letters, the joy I have from my child, right, from family life, makes everything else pale in comparison. All of the achievements of the Republic do not add up to this. That is to say, those private and yet very publicly shared goods, like a child into the city, right, but also transcendent goods of raising a new immortal soul into this life and the next to pursue happiness beyond the grave, that is such a consolation that it anesthetizes us, or immunizes us, is the better term, against the utopian cries of, if we just do this, government can make us all happy. Mm-hmm. It's like, I have a certain glimmer of happiness here that you will never be able to replace with whatever new Bernie Bro program or Mayor of New York program. That will never do it. And so an entire citizenry of single people is much more liable to utopian, crazy political adventure.
Milton Friedman talked about this. I think it was in relation to the inheritance tax, you know, long ago in late 70s. But essentially was saying, you know, as an economist's economist, it makes no sense to him. But people are far more concerned about the quality of life for their kids and what they're leaving for their kids than they are for themselves. And that changes a whole, you know, a myriad of policy prescriptions and the way you view any number of issues.
No, that's right. It winds up, you can even see it in Supreme dicta, like Wisconsin v. Yoder, I bring up in the paper. The entire Republican commercial limited government project of America is basically the love of parents for their children, industriously reuniting with other parents in order to secure those goods for all, right? In union. That's the game. And when it goes away, I think the form of government will have to change. So that's why it's very important to get to the aim higher for the family. Because if you, it's like Machiavelli says, if you aim up here, gravity will pull your arrow down. If you aim at, like, we need more bodies for entitlements, right? Yeah. Like, if you aim there, your arrow's in the dirt and you don't have a happy family culture of America anymore. You have to aim very high. And when you do that, maybe you'll get, you know, some enriched entitlements and some more people.
There are people who recognize this, but the way they're going about it, so Korea, elsewhere, they're paying, South Korea, they're paying people to have children. They want to pay people to have children. Even here in the United States, we talk about, well, maybe we can have this tax credit here, or maybe we can have free child care there. Are those, any of those things, the type of proposals or type of ideas that will really change the way that we think about children in society?
So they are marginal benefits, and we've seen it. You push a little, you give some money, and you get a little bump, and then the bump kind of evens out. So the idea that it's totally useless, I would not say that. The idea that it will actually sort of solve the birth dearth problem, or that deep natalism only requires these kinds of additional, you know, oomphs, I don't think so. I think what people need to be paid in is not just physical benefits or material benefits, but honor, right? The family must be honored again. And you can see this even in people that I think are a little suspect on these questions. Like Francis Bacon in The New Atlantis, he has this whole idea for how to honor the father, how to honor the family. And there's these festivals of the father. We have Father's Day and Mother's Day, and those things are good. But I think also just we need to re-educate ourselves in the virtues. What will make you happy? And I mentioned this earlier, magnanimity, right? This is a virtue of the willingness to embrace pain and suffering for great goods, and that will make you happy and is beautiful. A lot of people tell me that they can't have a family because they can't afford a home. I will confess on the radio, I didn't own a home until I held my eighth child in a NICU with a hole in her heart. That's when I bought my first home, right? So you need to be, I will suffer for family.
Yeah.
And I'll put family first. And then it turns out that there is a provident God and a natural law. Like the tail of a comet, it will shine very brightly. But you need to throw that ice rock out into space. You need to take the leap and be serious. And I think that kind of education in virtue and morality, that kind of civilizational confidence in doing what humans do well, right, and doing what pleases God, that has to be at the forefront of this success strategy. The goodies are a secondary, and they can help, like sure. A Band-Aid here and there.
Dr. Matt Meehan, Associate Dean and Associate Professor at the Van Andel Graduate School of Government in Washington, D.C., and writing The Higher Purpose of Children in American Society over at heritage.org, part of their First Principles series. Dr. Meehan, thanks for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks, Gunn.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to John Cass, legendary Chicago reporter and columnist. You can find him at johncassnews.com. Also, the Chicago Way podcast, and Dr. Matt Meehan from Hillsdale in D.C. The Radio Free Hillsdale Hour is recorded at the studios of WRFH, the student-run radio station at Hillsdale College. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio, including YouTube. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Oliva Melano Maduro. From the verdant fields of Jalapa, Nicaragua, comes an epic 95-rated cigar, wrapped in a Maduro leaf from San Andres. Expect notes of espresso, anise, and walnut liqueur. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Kick off your week with straight-up facts. Tune in to KCNR every Monday at 6:35 a.m. for the Town Hall Brief during the Sue McClain News Hour. Known for unbiased reporting, we deliver the real deal on what's happening in our county. Crisp updates and honest discussions that matter. Got a tip? Email townhallbriefs@gmail.com or DM them at townhallbrief on linktree.com. The Town Hall Brief, your trusted source for local news, Monday mornings at 6:35 on KCNR.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community. I want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs.
Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.